Hello again and welcome to Living with Dying, the podcast where we try to smash the taboos around death and dying and talk about it more openly and freely, and also talk to people who've rebuilt a good life after a big loss. And my guest today is certainly one of those. I've come to visit an old friend, Wendy Craig. Most of you will know Wendy from her work as an actress. She started on stage, moved over to screen in famous films like The Servant, and then into television, where she had a great success with Butterflies and Not in Front of the Children. And more recently, Wendy has worked on a series called The Worst Witch for Children, which has brought her another huge area of fans. Wendy was married to Jack Bentley for 40 years, and sadly, he died 30 years ago. Wendy, it's lovely to come and be with you. I wonder if you can take us back to when Jack died. Do you remember much about it?
Every minute of it, yes. Yes, he had cancer. He had it for 5 years before he actually died. And we tried everything we could to cure him, but nothing worked. And in the end, we just brought Jack home, and he died at home with wonderful nurses, the Ian Rennie Hospice at home and the Macmillan nurses. Yes, they were absolutely brilliant and so kind to us as well. When I say us, I'm talking about my boys, my two sons and myself, and they were so kind to us and so sensitive and understanding. And yes, they were there right till the very end. Quite honestly, when he died, he was in so much pain and such distress that I was quite relieved for him that he didn't have to suffer anymore. But I really at a loss, because he'd always been there and a huge support. He was very supportive. I leaned on him all the time, and suddenly I had to stand on my own 2 feet. Fortunately, my boys they're wonderful boys. They were very kind, very helpful. They were always there when I needed them, on the phone, or they'd come tearing over in the car, you know. So I always had that marvellous support, and from friends. But I think I was fortunate in as much as I worked, because when he first took ill, I was asked to do a pantomime in the winter when he first became very ill. And I said, oh, I can't take that on because I don't know what's going to happen. He said, do take it on, because if I'm not here, work is the best thing for you. And I said, oh, I don't think I'll be able to do that. He said, you will, and you're going to. And so I said to the producers, yes, I would accept that role of the fairy godmother. Wow. In Cinderella. And of course, it was the saving of me, really, because I just had to get on with it.
So you're really saying that because he knew he was likely to die, he was encouraging you to keep a career going for your own sanity, really?
Very much so. Very much so. He would have been, I know, terribly disappointed if I'd given up at that point. But in actual fact, I loved working so much that I knew in my heart of hearts that I had to go on with it and that I'd find the strength from somewhere, you know. It's strange because when you do panto, you're with a lot of young people, dancers, young girls and boys dancing about, singing and larking about. And it's Christmas and everyone's giving everybody presents and there are parties. The little dancers give parties for the big cast. The big cast give parties for the little dancers. It just carried me along, and there was so much to think about because I'd never done panto before, and I had to learn, you know, how to sing. Well, I could sing, but just actually the technique of panto, it's so brash and loud and very different from doing a West End play. So I had to just get on with it. I did miss Jack's support terribly because I always get terribly nervous on first nights and things like that. And Jack was always there. He used to come into the dressing room before a first night and I'd be quaking in front of the mirror, putting a makeup on and what have you. I said, oh God, I really can't face it. But Jack, who always had warm hands, he had lovely warm hands, and he always took my hands, which were cold with fright. And he used to take my hands and say, come on, you can do it. Take my strength. Take strength from me. You can do it. And it was just like being given an injection of courage, you know. And I found that just before I went on, just in the wings, in the dark, before you walk onto the stage, which is flooded with light, I'd just think of what he'd said, and then I'd just go on and do it. And I missed that very much after he passed on.
Did you try and picture him in your mind's eye instead?
I was quite sure he was saying it to me anyway. I was quite sure he was. I'm quite sure his spirit, or whatever you may call it, was with me. Yes.
And that helped?
Oh, helped. It was, yes, absolutely essential, I think.
But the thing about acting is you don't have an ongoing life of work, do you? It comes in fits and starts. So when the panto was over, did that leave you with your grief alone?
Yes, I suppose it did. I lived in the country. I find great comfort in walking in the country. I had a lovely dog, and when I was feeling really low, whatever the weather, good days or bad, I'd put on my coat and take the dog's lead, and we'd go off and walk in the lovely Berkshire countryside, and I found that very comforting as well. But then I had a house to run on my own. I had to learn about handling money, which I'd never done before. There was so much to learn. And I think keeping occupied is the secret to not going under with grief. If you can just say to yourself, he would want me to get on with this. He wouldn't want me to be sitting crying in a corner, helpless. Just get on with it, woman. And I did.
So are you saying you actively organised things to do to keep yourself busy if you weren't working?
Yes, but there was always plenty to do. It didn't take a lot of organising. It was there. And it had to be done. So I just got on with it. And obviously I had very sad, lonely moments and cried a lot. But you can't cry in front of other people. You've always got to think about them as well. You know, you don't want to upset them. So you put on a brave face and just do what you have to do.
And you got more work soon after the panto, did you? And
oh yes, I've really been working sort of ever since, really, on and off, with gaps in between.
So what age were you when he died? If you don't mind my
asking. I think I was 60. Jack was 20 years older than me, by the way. So he died when he was 81, so 61. I was 61.
Oh, so you had a good long future ahead of you, didn't you?
Yes, yes, I did.
And did that feel daunting?
I never thought about it, Dilys, quite honestly. I didn't think about that. Mind you, my mother had always said to me, when I told her I was going to marry Jack, she was naturally quite anxious about her daughter marrying someone 20 years older than her. And she said, you realise you're going to have a very lonely old age. And I said to her, I know, Mum, but it'll have been worth it. And it was.
And is that how you see it now?
Absolutely. I'm not lonely at all now. I'm not lonely at all.
Can you tell me how you've achieved that?
Well, I suppose I've got lovely friends. I've got a large family. I've got children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I live in a delightful village where people are very friendly. I have a sweet carer who comes in 3 days a week to help me with various things like shopping and taking me for medical examinations and things like that. I have quite a lot of company. I think the only time I get really lonely is at night. I don't sleep well. And often I lie at night and thinking, oh, wish I had a nice warm, Jack's nice warm cuddly bod next to me.
So you don't seem to have what I had initially, which was mornings when I would wake up thinking, what is the point now? What's the point of going on? What is the point of my life?
No, I never had that feeling of, oh, what am I here for? Or I just had the feeling that it had been a wonderful life with him, and now I was on my own, and sort of in honour of him, I would do what he would have wanted me to do.
Yes, I can relate to that.
Mm.
They're kind of an ongoing presence, aren't they, really?
Yes.
Behind us, encouraging us on.
All the time. I still talk to Jack all the time, ask him questions, you know, what do you think I should do about this, Jack? And he left such a legacy, his presence and his being there for me all the time. He left me such a legacy. I know what he would have said. He would have said, well, I think you should. Oh, and I still take his advice in a way.
And going back to what you said about working, that I quite agree with what you said, but you were 61 and a lot of people would be coming to the end of their working lives at that stage.
Yes, that's
they?
True.
So have you any lessons or tips to pass on to people who haven't got work?
Well, I think at 61, you're not very old. There's a lot more you could do. It's easy for me to say, well, go and look for some work. What I mean is, you could be terribly useful to the world. And you've got the time and possibly the energy to do it. And I always think that when you're with other people and doing something worthwhile, it really bucks up your spirit.
Yeah. I know you worked recently with young people, didn't you, on The Worst Witch television
yes.
series. Did you find that helped keep you young, keep you? Because you're, am I allowed to say you're 90 now?
And yes.
You're amazing for 90. So I want to know how you've done that too.
Again, I think it's because I kept working. Yes, it was delightful working with the young people on The Worst Witch. Mind you, we were kept quite separately. The children were kept in one group and the grown-ups had their little caravans and things to get made up in and what have you. But when you're actually on the set with them, it's tremendous fun. And very inspiring. Some of them are so clever. And they work in a slightly different style now as well. So you can still learn. You can learn a lot from them.
Like what?
Well, when I was at drama school, you know, we were taught elocution. And we were taught to be very precise in everything we did. Whereas these kiddies were quite relaxed and... I don't know, I just thought, oh, that's terribly good what you're doing. I must watch you. You could teach me a thing or two. Yes, I gained quite a lot from watching them because you can become quite an old-fashioned sort of actor. you can't help but notice it when you're on the set with others, and you see how they go, these young people, how they go about it. I don't really know how to explain this to you, dear Liz, but this, you know how in the old days actors talked like that and it was all terribly dignified and... Well, now it's tremendously relaxed. And I wouldn't say I copied them, but I tried to learn how to be more relaxed, and I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Well, I think I get it, because it's a bit like television presenting. I think that's changed.
Yes. You
know, if I look back at things that I did or other people did 40, 50 years ago, we were quite prim and proper, really, and speech was, as you described, prim and proper again, wasn't
yes.
it? And now it's all very relaxed. Everybody is just themselves on air,
yes.
aren't they?
So, and they're allowed to speak in their own way of speaking
yeah.
that they were brought up with. You don't have to talk posh anymore.
Yeah.
This was brought home to me when I had to do a voiceover for some advertising campaign. And by accident, what they were talking about in the recording room came over on my earphones, and I heard this advertising woman say, "Why is she talking so posh?" And it shocked
yeah.
me, because I thought, well, that's how I've been taught to speak. I was really thrown. I thought, I don't know how else to talk. This is how I talk.
And this is what they've employed you for, you would have thought.
Well, yeah, I would have thought so, but there you go.
You didn't change on the spot.
I didn't change on the spot, because I thought, well, I thought, as you have just said, surely that's why you had me, because I do talk like that.
And what about socialising, Wendy? Were you good at that when you were on your own?
I wasn't bad, but I did miss having Jack with me as a support. I found it quite tiring and difficult, kind of holding my own in company, because he was always there. You know, I felt his support was quite marvellous. He was always there with his hand on my back, or I could just reach out and touch his hand if I was feeling a bit uncomfortable or not knowing quite what to say and things like that. And I did miss that terribly. And I don't go out as much, and I haven't gone out as much, really. I'm fine with the family, and I'm fine with close friends, but I've sort of given up on going to charity events and things like that, because I've no support. Although they're all very nice and everything, but it's just, you do feel very much on your own.
And what about with other people, with friends? Have they been supportive?
Oh, yes, they have been wonderfully supportive. I've got some marvellous friends. And the family, tremendous. My granddaughters, and now my little great-granddaughters, who come and visit me, and very sweet and lovely to talk to. So I do have wonderful support from them. But, you know, it was that thing of there being two of you. And afterwards, if you had a dinner party, you were washing up, or you were driving home, and you'd say, "So-and-so was in good form tonight, wasn't he? It was very funny." Or, "Oh, I could have done without that argument going on in the corner, couldn't you?" You know, and you had something to discuss. You had someone to discuss it with, the event. I do miss that.
How do you get on with other couples?
I have got friends who are still as couples, and okay, I get on okay with them. But again, I'm on my own, and they're talking together and at me. I don't have that support of the person you love chipping in and helping you with the conversation and carrying it forward and that sort of thing, you feel quite exhausted afterwards because you've been holding up the whole thing on your own. And I'm quite a shy person, and I get a bit tongue-tied and feeling a bit of an idiot sometimes when I'm in company. So yeah, I do miss him very much on those occasions.
And it's quite hard entertaining on your own too, isn't it, if you've been used to doing it as a couple? Because like you say, there's always somebody to sort of carry the weight of, if you're busy doing something, there's always somebody else to do the talking.
Yes, and that's
that,
right. And someone to do pour the drinks, yeah. and carry on the conversation when you're in the kitchen. And yes, it's quite tricky.
And the other thing I find difficult being with couples is that I suppose I'm jealous in a way. I look at them and I think, gosh, you're so lucky still to be together.
No, I don't think I feel jealous. I suppose I think they're lucky, but it's nice to see them together. It's funny enough, I've got some friends who ring me up and say, oh, he's driving me mad. You know, he's getting so old and crotchety now. And he's just really getting on my nerves. And I think, oh, I've never had that situation crop up. To say, oh, yes, it must be pretty aggravating, I know. But I don't really mean it. Because I think, you're lucky to have him.
I can hear your lawnmower coming round again.
Yes, I'm terribly sorry about the lawnmower. He would choose today, of course, but it is dry and sunny, and I guess he's not working, so he thought he would cut his lawn. I do apologise.
It hasn't been too much interference, has it? He's come and gone.
He's come and gone, yes.
So when we last had a conversation, Wendy, about our husbands and their deaths and then our futures, I remember you telling me that now that you were getting older, You felt you were getting closer to Jack in a way, and that your faith was helping you. Would you like to explain a bit about that?
Yes. Well, I was brought up in a Christian family and went to church as a child and was believed, you know, really believed in God. But when I was in the theatre and things like that, and didn't have time to go to church, and gradually my faith sort of dropped away. But I did renew it again when I was about 40, I think. I felt a great need to go back to my Christian faith. And I still have that faith. And Jack didn't, but towards the end of his life, he began to think about what the future would bring, you know, was there a future life or was there nothing? And he did actually embrace the Christian faith before he died, which was absolutely wonderful for me and for him, of course, because I then had the security of knowing that he was safe, but also that we would meet again. I know I'll meet up with him again. We'll be together again, yeah.
So does that give you comfort as you're getting older?
Oh, yes, it's wonderful. Yes, it's one of the things I look forward to, actually. Yes.
Very positive attitude you have, Wendy. I'm continued to be impressed by you.
Oh, thank you very much, Dillis.
It's been absolutely lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for passing all that on and giving us your advice.
Lovely to talk to you. A pleasure to talk to you, Dillis, and remember the happy times.
Death is never easy. But there are ways we can help each other through it. And if you've found any of these episodes helpful, please think about liking and sharing. And if you can help spread the word by telling just one other person, thank you. And a huge thanks to Joe Barrett, without whom these podcasts would simply not be possible. You can contact us on hello@livingwithdying.co.uk.